The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus proposed to the crowds another parable. The reign of God may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. And while everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds through his wheat and then made off. When the crop began to mature and yield grain, the weeds also made their appearance. The owner's slaves came to him and said, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then have the weeds come from?" He answered, "I see an enemy's hand in this." His slave said to him, "Do you want us to go out and pull up the weeds?" "No," he replied. "Pull up the weeds and you might take the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time I will order the harvesters. First collect the weeds and bundle them up to be burnt, and then gather the wheat into my barn." He proposed still another parable. "The reign of God is like a mustard seed, which someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of seeds of all, and yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes so big a shrub that the birds of the sky come and build their nests in its branches." He offered them still another image. "The reign of God is like yeast, which a woman took and kneaded into 3 measures of flour, and eventually the whole mass of dough began to rise." All of these lessons Jesus taught the crowds in the form of parables. He spoke to them in parables only to fulfill what had been said through the prophet. "I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden since the creation of the world." And then, dismissing the crowds, he went home. His disciples came to him with the request, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." And he said to them in answer, "The farmer sowing good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed the citizens of the kingdom. The weeds are the followers of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, while the harvesters are the angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will dispatch his angels to collect from his kingdom all who draw others to apostasy and all evildoers. The angels will hurl them into the fiery furnace, where they will wail and grind their teeth. And then the saints will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Let everyone who heed what he hears." The Gospel of the Lord. So you had Father Curley last week. Quite an experience. And even though he said he wasn't going to preach, he did manage to put a number of words together, right? That's one of his gifts. Left me a number of notes around my house celebrating the fact that he was here. So, great experience for you, meeting him in his retirement, just recently retired, and now he's experiencing a newness of life. Had quite an experience myself in traveling with Father Noonan, bringing him home. I know some of you heard about it. Along the way, I had checked in Jackson to make sure that we were traveling together, and then in Atlanta the same way, and in New York, they did not have him listed for being transported in the cargo section. And so it caused quite a disturbance. And I asked them about it and talked to the pilot and talked to the cargo people and said we were booked exactly on the same passage and his funeral was going to be on Thursday. The pilot asked when his funeral was going to be. And eventually I said, well, I'll stay and wait. And they said, we can't get your bag off and you might not get on tomorrow. You know how they do. And so it was a little chaotic for a while. And then they did find that he was there, that he had been transported, but they hadn't listed him on the manifest for traveling. So as it turned out, anyway, I went ahead then and met his family in Shannon, and they were pretty prepared for the next day for him to arrive, and he did arrive. The funeral the next day was at 12:30, and everything was scheduled, and he arrived at 10:05 was the arrival time. They arrived 5 minutes early in Shannon and made it to his home place at 11:20, and we opened the casket and for the family and had prayer there in the house in his own home where he grew up, and then we went to the local church. So he was almost late, and of course his family really appreciated that, because, you know, for an individual who was so given to being on time, all of his nieces and nephews were aware of this when he married all of them and he baptized their children, and he would be at church and he'd say, Niamh, it's 2 o'clock, are we having this baptism at 2? And he would be ready to go. For the weddings, the same, but they were always a little more casual. And the biggest issues that he and I had over 40 years, they were always about time. You know, he was quite distressed that I wouldn't be there on time. And I would say, hey, you're retired. What are you worried about? You know, relax. But no, that wouldn't do. He'd say, if we say 10, it's 10. If we say 2, it's 2. And he had that metronomic sense of time, which I don't have. And he used to say to me oftentimes, and he used to say to my brothers and sisters when he was hanging out with them, he'd say, the lad will be late for his own funeral. So when we went to bury him, I told his family and nieces and nephews, I rest my case. He certainly had the last word, and it was a rush to get him there. So that was the actions. I know some of you heard about it, and he was laid to rest by his parents at home and his older brother. And it was quite the celebration again of his life, and I was particularly grateful for the celebration that we had here celebrating his life. What was most interesting was realizing and looking out in the church at home, in his home parish where he was baptized, looking out and seeing all of the members of different priests' families, Father Carroll's family, Father O'Brien's family, Father Owen's family, Father Curley's, Father Farrell's, Father McDermott's, and all of those families that have such a connection with Mississippi. And all of those guys that have been here over the years. It was just an extraordinary connection with the church in Mississippi, seeing all of them and them being there present to celebrate his life. The gospel today, quite an interesting piece. There are a lot of paradoxes in it. You know, as you listen to it, you notice almost immediately the kind of nuances in it that are, you say, that's not so. The first one, I love the presentation of the first one. He proposed another parable. Love the word propose. When we think of propose, what do we think of? Marriage, absolutely, a commitment in love, a commitment in engaging for life. And here Jesus proposes a parable. Nobody has to take it, nobody has to do anything with it, but he proposes it in love, saying, hey, I'd like for you to understand this a little better. I'd like for you to understand this whole idea of kingdom. And He moves off all of these things. Hey, let me tell you this way. Let me tell you this way, this way, this way. How important it is to understand the kingdom of God. But most of us learned about the kingdom of God. We thought of it in terms of being something off there in the future where we were headed, right? Sorry, didn't mean to catch you off guard. But yes, generally that was the kind of sense that the kingdom of God is something in the future that we are destined for. And Jesus is saying, no, the kingdom is right here. Right here. He has established that kingdom. And it's about the relationships and it's about the experiences of people. And in an agrarian society where he was living and preaching, it was not unusual for him to use these kinds of examples that were about the soil and fertility and growing crops and sheep and various and sundry things like that, using examples that the people were very familiar with. And in this parable, he talks about the gentleman sowing the wheat seed. And when the fruits begin to appear, the weeds also appear. Not surprising. That happens all of the time. Right? The weeds just find their way in. Nobody has to cultivate them or bring them about or sow them. They find their way into the stuff. And Jesus saw that as a great example to teach and to instruct about relationships. Relationships with each other. That's what he was really talking about. And how easily we could read it just as a nice agrarian example. But there is a paradox in there. He said they approach the owner and they say, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Yes, I did. Where do the weeds come from? Well, they just always appear. The weeds continue to appear. And so they say, do you want us to go out and pull up the weeds? That's the paradox. He says, no. Well, we all know, and those of you familiar with the farming or even just gardening, you go out and you pull up the weeds because you always have the fear of the plant or the shrub or whatever being overrun by these weeds, and we know that so well. So for him to say, no, no, don't go pulling up the weeds. Let them grow together. I will take care of this. It's a great example about relationships. Why are you worried about this other person all of the time? Why are you constantly complaining about this person or that person or whatever? Hey, focus on what I have in mind for you. It's a very solid example for us and a great challenge for us in terms of persons. Think of persons that we have often adjudicated to be weed. Somebody that we encounter that may be very confrontive or outgoing or maybe overwhelming, that when we first meet them and we begin to say, bit much. And we have a perception about them or a judgment about them. We think, nah, I want to avoid that person. And then we meet other people and we think, wow, they are pure wheat. And Jesus is saying to us, hey, sometimes we don't decide very well which is weed and which is wheat. Be careful. Be attentive. Because when we are so quick to judge, we might miss a great depth. Great depth of a teacher, a person. And I can tell you, it's certainly true in my life, and maybe if you look in your own, you might find it to be the truth. I have adjudicated people in the beginning and thought, I don't want to have any kind of a relationship with that person. Only to find later on, wow, they were really rich. I couldn't deal with the initial introduction, maybe because they were so honest, directive, challenging. But later on, found them to be really, really good people in my life who brought a great challenge and a great invitation to growth. Conversely, people that I adjudicated to be wheat in the beginning turned out to be, well, not relationships that continue to grow. So Jesus is saying to us very clearly, hey, be attentive. Let's not be so quick to judge. And even though somebody may not seem or appear on the surface to be akin to me, they can become great teachers. You got to search more deeply, because how easily we can misidentify the weeds and the wheat. And so he says, be calm about it, be reflective, speak to me about it. I have a plan for you, and I will lead people to you who will guide you and teach you and direct you. Because we have such an intensity about getting rid of the weed, or get rid of that person out of my life, or whatever it is. And the Lord is saying, hey, speak to me about it. Don't be afraid to grow. My dad used to say, hey, get out there and thin those carrots. You know, we used to sow carrots in the backyard. And I don't know anything that is more delicate than thinning carrots. They call it thinning because there is an understanding you're going to pull up some of the carrots. I pull up a good share of them. My day, when my dad would be looking over my shoulder watching me, it was fine, a little more careful. And then when he'd go inside, man, I would kneel on top of some of those ones that I had moved through, thinning some of those beds. Absolutely almost impossible task, and it's easy to understand what Jesus was talking about, because the heads of them, they looked almost the same. You know, the heads, the green on the carrots and the little weeds growing alongside of them. Yes, there were casualties, you know, but Jesus is saying, hey, be careful about the casualties, because sometimes we miss the wheat in life. What a great teaching. He moves on to say that's the kingdom of God. It's not something off in the distance, it's right now. So he says, live in a manner whereby that transition will be easy for us in the final analysis, or when it finally comes for us. That it won't be a huge movement from here up to another kingdom, but that we would know his kingdom and know the reality of that in the present time through having a personal relationship with him. Then we would move naturally, just as a transition into the kingdom and into the hope of life. And so he said it again and again and again. He said, kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed a mustard seed, the smallest of all the seeds, and yet it grows to be one of the greatest shrubs. Matthew uses that example again in another portion in his gospel, you may remember. He says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this tree, be uprooted and transplanted in the sea, and it would obey you. What Matthew is saying, what Jesus is saying through Matthew, is a little faith, just a little faith in the kingdom at the present time in which we are journeying, can change everything, can help us to see what is real wheat. So he's saying, hey, let's not be too quick to judge. Let's not be too quick to eliminate and to pass off and to be obsessed with getting rid of the weeds. But rather, let's be aware that he is guiding us through it all. Over and over again, he said, I want you to understand this kingdom. You think of all the examples that he gave. Kingdom of heaven is like a man who went on a search for fine pearls, and when he found one, he sold everything else that he had just to have that. He's saying, if we could understand this kingdom that he is inviting us to be a part of and to live in, then we would be willing to sacrifice everything else as well. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who discovered a treasure in a field, and he went home and sold everything he had, came back and bought that field, because he knew what the kingdom is about. And Jesus is saying, I want you to know what the kingdom is about. It's about living in relationship with each other, about living in relationship, not being so quick to judge, and rather allowing me to guide the relationships. And if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, just a little, then it would change your perspective about this kingdom. So he's saying, live as disciples in this kingdom and grow in my grace.